I trust that you will be blessed by the message and by the ministry. Thank you that Jesus is always alive and he will speak to our hearts if we will allow him. I'm going to talk today about the secret place of the Most High. And before I begin, I just want to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is here. We welcome him here, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here. We pray that you will just take over, that you will be the strength that we have need of. I pray you'll open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. And I ask you, Lord, to use me as a vessel for your honor. It's not me, but it's you. And I pray, Lord, that people will see you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. The secret place of the Most High. I came across a little story that I'd like to share with you. And as I open up talking about this, the power of presence. There's a great power in presence of a person or of God, especially. The nurse took the tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside. "Your son is here," she said to the old man. She had to repeat the words several times before the patient's eyes opened. Heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack, he dimly saw the young, uniformed Marine standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hand. The Marine wrapped his fingers around the old man's hand, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. All through the night, the young Marine sat there in the poorly lighted ward, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and strength. Occasionally, the nurse suggested that the Marine rest a while. He refused. "No," he said, I'll stay. And now and then, she heard him say a few gentle words. The dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. Towards dawn, the old man died. The Marine released the now lifeless hand he had been holding and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. Finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her. "Who was that man?" he asked. The nurse was startled. "He was your father," she answered. "No, he wasn't," the Marine replied. "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him?" he said, she asked. "I knew right away there had been a mistake," said the Marine, "but I also knew he needed his son, and his son was not there. When I realized that he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed a son, I stayed. The next time someone needs you, stay and be that person." He was the strength. The presence, there is power in a presence. I thought that was an interesting story. But when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we can abide under the shadow, the protection of the Almighty. You have to be close to someone to be able to be in the shadow. And when we get close enough to God to get in his shadow, the promises of Psalms 91 begin to take effect. The results of not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High causes many Christians to live in defeat, cowering in fear from demonic oppression, running from opportunities of ministry, and being shaken by every event of life that upsets the apple cart. All because they don't dwell in the God's secret place of protection. We cannot hang around the edge of worldly desires and get close enough to God to be in his shadow. Throughout the Bible, we read about God's miraculous protection and his provisions for those who dare to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. God does not change. He is the same today as he was yesterday, and as he will be forever, and he is no respecter of persons. When Daniel was threatened about being thrown into the lion's den if he continued to stay in God's presence, he did not recant. Instead, he immediately sought to be in the presence of the Almighty. He did not cower down and be afraid. We have some today that tell us, you cannot worship, you cannot do this, you cannot. And we must not bow down to that. When Nebuchadnezzar commanded that the three Hebrew boys be cast to it, bow down and worship his image or be thrown in the fiery furnace, they said in Daniel 3:17-18, they said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. We've talked about some of the needs. Our God is able to deliver us. But he says, and he will deliver us, O king, out of thine hand. Yes, he's going to deliver us whether we die or whether we stay alive. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But he says, but if not, if we do not live, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Many Christians think that God should deliver them, and of course you know the rest of the story. If you don't, you need to read it, because God came in and Jesus came right in the fire and their clothes were not even burned, and he walked with them. When you go through a difficult time, if you have been in the presence of the Almighty, if you've been in the presence of God, you can be in that shadow and you will have protection. He protected them and they had not even the smell of smoke. And as a result, Nebuchadnezzar said, this God that they serve is the greatest God, and everybody needs it. Nobody can talk against him. But anyway, you read the story. It's a very interesting story. But many Christians think that God should deliver them from hardships, whether or not they dwell in that secret place of the Most High. We must stay in the presence of God. We must be in that place, not accepting the things the devil throws at us, saying, oh, you're going to fail, you're not going to succeed, you're going to die. You know what? We can be under the shadow of the Almighty, in that shadow, if we dwell in that secret place. Missionary John Patton was surrounded one night by hostile natives who intended to burn the mission station and kill the missionaries. Rather than fight, Patton and his wife stayed in that secret place praying and trusting God. They did not come out. They didn't show fear. They stayed there and they trusted God. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers had left. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, well, who were all those men with you there? Patton knew no men were present, but the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Do you know that you have angelic hosts that are an angel that is watching over you? And it's not that person who died and went to heaven. They're not angels. I hate to tell you that, or I'm glad to tell you that. They're not angels, but they are those that bid the bidding, what God tells them to do. They're messengers. Years ago, my father was holding a tent revival in Phoenix, Arizona. Used to could put a tent up. And he, miracles were happening because he and my father were under the shadow of the Almighty. I think I made a typo. A man who was an unbeliever decided that he would stop this meeting. He said, I'm not going to let it go on. My wife's going there. I'm going to go shut it down. He threw rotten eggs and rotten tomatoes as he cursed my father. Perhaps you've heard that old song, I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, God got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. If you heard that old song, something got a hold of me. I went there to fight, but oh my, that night. Well, that man was slain by the power of the Holy Spirit during that meeting. And the long story made short is that he became a Christian and became a leader in the Church of God. He became a part of the church. For many years, he was part of that leadership. My father also once visited the home of a woman who had asked for prayer. And her husband, an unbeliever, determined that he would shoot and kill this man. He figured, if a guy's coming to my house, I'll get rid of him. But he didn't know what guy was with that guy, what man Jehovah was with him. Anyway, and so when he came into the home, when the husband saw, when my father was there and the husband came in, but he saw this large angelic being standing beside my father. And he changed his mind. And later, why did you not shoot? You had the gun? I wasn't about to go against that guy. God will watch over those who stay in the secret place of the Most High. Does that mean that we have to stay in a place where we're bowing on our knees all the time? No. My heart and my mind and my thoughts, it is set upon Him. He is the one that I serve. In Psalm, the 91st chapter, I'm referring to that quite a bit today, or this is what I'm talking about, the verse 11, it says, He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. That's the promise that we have. During our daily family devotions, I was afraid to violate, when I was a child, I was afraid to violate the Word of God because somehow it seemed the Lord would reveal it to my mother. And I'm telling you, if I didn't dare. I came to the devotions and I thought, man, I hope she doesn't read my slate today. My mother was a praying woman who knew what it was to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Unfortunately, we don't have very many parents today that pray for their children and go before God for them. We need to do that. Each day, we children went with her as she delivered mail in a rural area, the area of Levine. I guess that's not rural anymore, but anyway, there was a two-hour layover for the return trip. My mother spent that time in the secret place while we were out playing, goofing around, swimming in the irrigation ditch. She was there under a tree praying for her children and her family. She was spending that time in the secret place of the Most High. She was communing with God. One day as she finished praying, she looked and saw a Gila monster beside her leg, just lying there looking at her. He probably was listening. He decided that that was not going to be his food today. Psalm 91:13 and 14 says, You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, the Lord says. I will set him on high because he has known my name. We need to know the name and the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. There is a special place in God where the child of God can dwell. It is the secret place of the Most High. Just as the high priest of the Old Testament could enter into the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle and be covered by the Shekinah glory of God, of God's presence, so can we enter into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus. It is a place where we are so covered by the glory of God that His shadow is our protection from the enticements of the evil of the world. Why do I not have temptation? Oh, there are temptations the devil will throw at us, yes. But what keeps us from taking part in those is because we're in the shadow of the Almighty. We've been in His presence. The secret place of God is not made with human hands. The secret place is a place of ultimate trust and faith in God, where hope is alive and where doubts cannot dwell. The secret place is a place in God where we have peace and confidence that God has everything under control. We've heard several prayer requests today. One person was telling me, I got a call this week, and she said, an individual is on deathbed, they say. The doctors say you've got limited time. And so somebody asked the woman who was there visiting her, said, well, will you be back for the funeral? And she said, what are you talking about? She said, I thought we just prayed and believed that God was going to heal. She said, I'm not thinking about a funeral. I'm thinking about healing. and that was Elder Reed. Before one can enter into that secret place in God like the high priest did, we must experience a personal cleansing by the blood of the Lamb of God. You know how the high priest had to cleanse and wash before he could enter into that most holy place. So we have to be cleansed before we can enter in and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The high priest had clean water poured over his hands and feet to signify the washing of the water by the Word of God. We must look into the Word of God, and through eyes of the Spirit, we must allow the Word to cleanse us from those things that are not pleasing to God. When we read the Word, it is a light for us. It turns on the lamp. It's not for somebody else. It's for me. It's for I who read it, and for you as you read. As a high school student, I longed to be in the secret place of the Most High. So I withdrew from the busy crowd of students in the cafeteria, and I went into the locker room to be alone in the presence of God, because my heart was so hungry, and I said, God, I need more of you. I want to know you. Even Jesus withdrew from the crowds to be alone with God. If Jesus felt it was important, if he needed to be alone, how much more we certainly need to follow his example. We must have time alone with God. We can be in the crowds and even worshiping together in a crowd, but I need that alone time, and you need that alone time with God. There's a song that says, shut in with God in the secret place. I love that song. I sing it sometimes. Shut in with God in the secret place, thereby his Spirit beholding his face, gaining new power to run in life's race. I love to be shut in with God. The Holy Spirit is wooing us to come into his presence so that he may lavish his love upon us. We need that love. The world is starving for the genuine love of God's presence and his Holy Spirit. There's also a song that says there is a place of quiet rest. Dee knows it, but near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before you, near to the heart of God. I want to be close to his heart. I want to be held there by his presence so that I have the strength to carry on, to go out in a world and do what needs to be done. I think of those Christians in other, well, even in our nation or in other nations, in other countries, who are holding on to the strength that God has given them. They have to have that time alone. We need to pray for them. In our prayer, we pray for a lot of people. We don't want to forget to pray for those who are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. But great will be their reward, right? There's a voice calling me from an old rugged cross. It's calling you as well. That's one of the verses to a song there says, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave your world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new life in me you will find. That old rugged cross, the voice that's calling is the Holy Spirit saying, draw close to me. Come into my presence. What are we lacking in the church today? It's knowing that time alone with God, knowing the presence and the power of God in our lives. Instead, we dwell on the negative and everything that's gone wrong in our lives. But we are the blood of Jesus, and the power of God is our salvation. He is our refuge. We're saved by the blood of Jesus, not by our works, but by personally accepting Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross to atone for our sins. This is absolutely the only way that we can enter into that secret place of the Most High, is through by the blood. By the blood, even as if they entered in the temple, by the blood of Jesus makes us worthy. Many people have come to Jesus because of what they were told he would do for them. You know, we tell people, if you just be a Christian, just think of the benefits, what you will receive. Well, they were promised that he would bless their lives and take them to heaven after death, and they married him for his money, or as long as they can get his stuff, it seems. We have people that actually decide, I'm going to be a Christian because of the benefits. They have made the kingdom of God into a business, merchandising God's anointing. This sounds a little bit, you know, straight on. The story is told of a young professor who was teaching at a school of ministry, and he referred to the church as an enterprise. And then he clarified it by using the word. He said, that's a business. A young student then asked the question, a business? But isn't it supposed to be a body? Well, what could he say? Yes, yes, was the professor's reply. The student continued, but when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? The room went dead silent as the presence of God flooded the room. The only answer to her question was undoubtedly yes. The American church, tragically, is populated by people who do not really love God. They're spiritual prostitutes. How can they love him if they don't even really know him? And until we abide in his presence, we do not really know him. We do not decide to be a Christian so we can get the benefits and reap the rewards. Some people, I've heard people say, well, if you'll give, put this in, you know, God will multiply. Yes, he does multiply. And he does give abundantly to us as we obey the word of God. We are to obey his word, and he will bless us. But we cannot promise somebody God's going to do a certain thing for you and he's going to give you blessings if you just say you're a Christian. Because are they really Christians, or are they just prostitute Christians? There's a difference between a lover and a prostitute. Both do many of the same things, but a lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as she is paid. May our prayer be, O God, search me and uncover my motives for loving and serving you. May I be a true lover of God, even if I don't see all the blessings I desire. I don't put God to the test and say, well, if you will do this, if I'll serve you if you do this for me. That's not the way it works. God says, serve me regardless. Think of those who are giving their lives in countries where they're not reaping any benefits. They lay down their lives for the cause of Jesus. That's what you call love. Change my heart, O God. The song says, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, and may I be like you. You are the potter, and I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I say. There's a song that Sister Dee sings. I love two or three of those songs. I like them all. But it's painful sometimes when we're on the potter's wheel and we keep say, okay. And then he says, no, I've got to crush this. Got to change it again. Got to crawl back on that wheel. We have to be formed. We are the clay and he is the potter. Regardless of what happens in my life, Lord Jesus, I want to love you without conditions, should be our prayer. Thank you that you have provided for me the greatest gift. The greatest gift that we could ever receive is the gift of salvation through Jesus' blood. Jesus loved and he paid the price that we could have eternal life in his presence, forever in his presence, if we accept that blood. But he didn't say we'd have all the blessings of life in this world. Yes, we have blessings. I've been blessed. I could stand here and tell about the many times that God has provided and the things he's done in my life. And you could do the same. We need to count our blessings and stop talking about the negative things. We are Christians, representatives of Jesus Christ. I believe in the promises and the blessings of God. But may our devotion never be contingent on those blessings. O Lord, may we live in the secret place of the Most High, God is calling us to love Him without condition. An unconditional love for Him. Not for what He can give us, but who He is. Let us draw strength from dwelling in His presence. The song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at His wonderful face, and then the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You may look at a beautiful house. I remember that I looked at a house one time. We were driving, and I saw this beautiful home, and I thought, man, would I love to have a home like that, you know, that's new and so efficient and everything, and you don't have to worry about something breaking. And I would love that. And we were struggling in ministry, and we didn't have much. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, the home I've prepared makes that a shack. God has prepared for us something that is far greater than anything in this world that we can receive. There's the song that says, I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory, all the cross. Myself is just it's prone to sin, and it brings shame without the glory of the cross being applied, the blood of Jesus to my life. And then in closing, I sing that song. I always think of all the songs as I'm preparing a message, and they say, Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. It's free to all, this cleansing stream. It flows from Calvary's fountain. But we must stay in that secret place of the Most High. Does it mean that I'm withdrawn all the time and I don't have any fellowship with anybody? No, it does not. But I need that time alone, and you need that time alone in the presence of God so that you can have the strength to stand in when you are not where others are loving God. You can stand in His presence. I talked to this young man last night. He said, How do I get rid of bitterness? I don't know how. The abuse in my life. I'll tell you how. Jesus. Jesus is the answer. But when we try to erase and blot Him out and cut Him out of our lives, we don't have any. What can I do? It's like drinking poison, hoping it will kill the person that has hurt me. It doesn't work. But Jesus, when He hung on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And there are people who have hurt us, don't understand how badly they've hurt us. Maybe they don't seem to care. But when Jesus comes in, it changes the whole scene. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and He turns the heart to gladness. When Jesus comes, everything is changed. Amen. Amen. If you are watching today and perhaps you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you. You may say, but I'm not good enough. No, you're not. Neither am I. Nobody is. That's why Jesus became sin for us. He became your sinful nature. He became sin that you might gain His righteousness, but you have to accept it. You have to say, I believe it's for me. So I encourage you today, make Jesus the Lord of your life. You will find it wonderful to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and then you can abide. When you're that close to God, then you have a covering. You can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be in His shadow, and I pray that you will do so as well. As I pray, will you agree with me right now? Heavenly Father, for those that need you to be Lord of their lives, we all need you, God. We are all sinners. Without you and without the blood of Jesus, we have no claim to righteousness of our own. There is all of our righteousness is like filthy rags, and we recognize that only you are the one who can cleanse from sin, and you are willing and waiting and calling, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and you have promised you would give us rest. I pray, Lord, for those that need you today to give them rest. Let them accept you as you, as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I trust that you will or you have made Jesus Lord of your life. He's the greatest friend that anybody could ever have. And may you have a blessed week. May the Lord shower you with his blessings of love and acceptance as you go. God bless you. I'm so sorry that we had the delay today. I can tell you that. I'm sure that the people that are in this accident need our prayers as well. I understand there was a fatality. And when you get something on the I-10, it you can't believe the cars. When I got on the 87 to come, I thought, what is happening? But I couldn't see the end of the cars. But I know that the Lord will help John and Ramona. They'll get through it. Frustration. And he was helping me. I was so confused when I got here. I don't want to confess that, but I jumped out of my car real quick and I tried to lock it. Did you hear the beep, the horn? I couldn't lock it, and I thought, what's wrong? It won't lock. Okay, I ran in the restroom, and I came back, and I said, well, here's the key. I'll lock it. I tried to, no, it just, I hadn't turned the ignition off.